Our Old Testament reading tonight is from Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 through 11, and you can find that on page 78 in the Bibles. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the roof of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half the blood and put it in bowls. The other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel went up and saw God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. Our epistle reading tonight is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 through 17. And this you will find on page 1135. "It is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ. And it's not the bread that we break, a participation in the body of Christ. Because there is one loaf, we who are one body, we all partake in one loaf." The gospel reading tonight is from Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 28. You can find that on page 1007 in the church Bibles. And for respect to the Holy Gospel, please rise for the reading. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go to the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make preparations for it there." The disciples left, went to the city, and found the things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to the disciples, saying, Take it, this is my body." And he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Please remain standing and sing together.
I invite Lila and Jamie to come forward. And if you'd like to open up tonight to the story, the woman that we are looking at, Mary, in John chapter 12. And you'll find that on page 1065. Here we go. Let's pray. Father, may these words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our strength, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you both for partnering with me tonight, and to the various sisters in Christ throughout this Lenten season who have done this as well. Thank you for that. I've personally found this a very enriching Lenten season to hear the various perspectives as we've talked and studied stories independently, but then yet we come together and share, and it's been a blessing to me. So thank you for continuing that blessing tonight. So Mary, you know the story as it's in front of you. This is the same Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus in John chapter, in Luke, but now here in John following chapter 11 and the raising of her brother Lazarus, there's a dinner in honor of Jesus at their home. And of course, Martha is serving. and then there's Mary. And Mary does something very, very extraordinary. She takes a pint of nard, and that's a very expensive ointment. Just to put that in, frame that in perspective, it's said that that's really was worth a year's wages. And just to put that in 2024 terms, I don't know if any of you were watching the news last night on Channel 11. They did a little piece, what does it cost a single person to live comfortably in Minneapolis for a year? Any guesses? It was a little over $90,000. And for a family of four to live comfortably in Minneapolis for a year, it was about $250,000. Okay? St. Paul's a little cheaper by about $7,000. But just to put that into perspective of what Mary is doing here, what strikes you about this story, Lila?
I like this story. Am I on? Can you hear me? No? Better? Okay. I love this story because there's so much emotion in it. There are a lot of feelings. We find out a lot about Jesus's attributes. So their home is... Jerusalem is here, you go down the valley, you go up the Mount of Olives, and right over the top of the mountain is Bethany. They live really close to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus spent a lot of time with them, and it's said in the Bible that he loved Martha and Lazarus and Mary. And he only said that really point blank to a couple people, and John was the disciple he loved. So he had a really good relationship with them, and he spent a lot of time with them. And of course, Jesus was always traveling. And so to have a home and a place, and then I'm sure he was teaching constantly when he was there. So the thing that I really loved was how human he was and how he felt people's pain and understood what people went through as humans, even though he was God. They waited their whole life for Messiah to come, and here he was in living form in front of them. And I think that Mary got it, and I think she understood, and I think it was when Jesus wept with her and felt her pain in the depths of her sadness, and then raises Lazarus from the dead, and this great joy and this amazing miracle that happened. And for Mary just to know that they were like one, this was solid. And then for her to throw off all the rules and regulations and the the cloudiness of her church and her faith, and she just had to move by the Spirit. She lets down her hair to wipe up his feet, and she buys this expensive, I bought a little bottle. It did not cost a year's wages, but it's only an ounce, not a pint. So it was about $20 on Amazon. But this is spikenard, and if you ever want to smell it, it's quite a lovely smell. And she dumps it on his head in some of the Gospels and on his feet in John. It's pretty lovely.
Fill the room with this.
And that's what really strikes me, is the relationship she had with Jesus. It's all about relationships, spending time with him.
You know, as you're talking about the love between them, it made me think of this verse, and I think it's in 1 John. We love him because he first loved us. Where did Mary get that great love for Jesus? It came from him loving her, Martha, Lazarus, whoever he was around. But that's the source and the core of that love, which we can have that love too, can't we, for him? It's not restricted to folks back then or to people who had the privilege of actually getting this close to him.
It's a New Testament. It's a new covenant.
Yeah.
It's a whole changed picture of faith.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, thank you both for having longer hair. Really? Doesn't it help you envision the story here a little bit rather than this? I mean, try and wipe somebody's feet with this. But you two ladies with your lovely heads of hair mirror for us. Mary, thank you. Mm-hmm. Jamie, how about you? What strikes you about this story?
The first thing I noticed was how very, very clearly that Mary knew she was looking at her king, without a doubt. She was 110% sure that when she looked at Jesus, she was looking at her king, and she was willing to give everything of herself, her possessions, her hair. You know, she was willing to give her time, her complete attention, all of it to him, and that she knew without a doubt that her place was at Jesus' feet.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the folks I read suggested that she basically emptied the bank to do this, gave her all for him. And how her example points us to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He gave his all for us. He gave, just as she's giving her absolute best, her love says, I have to give my absolute best to him. He's my king. The king gave his absolute best for us. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for the friends. So they, in a way, are two peas in a pod, or maybe, I don't know how quite to say it, but Mary certainly reflects the love of Jesus, doesn't she?
Love works.
Yeah, yeah. Talk a little bit more about the idea, brought up the king. She's doing this because she recognizes her king. Either one of you.
Well, I don't have much here.
Oh, let me get you a different one. You're getting a red light.
It's okay, I'll just share.
We can share.
Go ahead.
When Jesus anointed...
What does this one turn on?
Or when Mary anointed Jesus' feet, it says in the Bible she did it for his death, but I really felt she did it as her king, And she anointed him as a king would be anointed. And spikenard is used in anointing for kings. And so that's why it's value. And I had told Pastor that when I was studying this, I really felt like that oil went all over his clothes. And I felt like he probably carried that scent with him as close to the cross as he could. And I thought maybe it would be really a nice thought to think that God just whiffed a breeze up as he was hanging on the cross. And some of that smell came to him. And he was assured that he was doing this for the love of his people, as painful and as horrible as it was, that his great love for us was renewed in him, and he knew that this was his Father's will, and he needed to be obedient to him.
Okay. Jamie? Nope, she's got one. I think it worked. It should work. Yep. Yep.
Okay. And I think kind of on that note, if you think about he's hanging there on the cross and he can smell it, maybe for just a second, he even pictured Mary sitting there. You know, sitting at his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. And that just solidified him knowing why he was doing what he was doing and who he was doing it for.
Yeah, and to me that fits so well with what Jesus would do in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, he needed reassurance in a way, because he's just a person. Father, if this is your will, okay, but if not, but if it's your will be done. He needed that strengthening that came from his Father, and I would imagine, too, if that aroma came up, that strengthened, because he understood what Mary was doing, and affirmed him, yes, this is who you are. This is why you came. You came to be the Messiah King. And yeah. You know, just think for a moment as we're talking here about smells. On a personal note, whenever I smell a cigar, I think of my Grandpa Marone. He always smoked a cigar. Years after he passed away, you could still get in his car, a 1951 Chevy, and smell the cigar. And smell just triggers so much for you, doesn't it? Triggers memories, triggers emotion, love. And as you're talking for Jesus, because Mary didn't just dab a little bit here. I know the scriptures there talk about the feet. But the things that we read lead us to believe and understand, and it's a whole pint. Listen to Psalm 133. When the Lord, here we go. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil, and the oil being talked about here is nard, poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling out Mount Zion. When the dew falls on a mountain, what is it? It covers the whole thing, doesn't it? For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. Interesting psalm, because it connects this anointing with oil, with nard, first of all, head to toe, and then secondly, it connects it directly to everlasting life. This is a sign, a symbol of everlasting life. The richness of what Mary is doing here. Wiping his feet, but it was the whole. Boy, that room must have smelled, huh?
Said it filled the whole room with odor.
Yeah, it's just amazing. You know, too, as we think about this story, and personal question. What's your nard? All of you. But what's your nard? What's the very best thing that you have to give to the Lord? What would you say?
You know, we Paul and I thought about that question one time. We were studying the book of Isaiah. We came to like the fourth chapter, and he's at the throne room of God. And we said, what would we ever bring to the throne room of God? What could ever, and all we can bring really, there's a long story involved with it, and we ended up having missionaries living in our house after talking about that, but that was a crazy God thing. But anyhow, we thought our love for him, so we really spend time with him, relationship with him, we pray, we read our Bibles, we study his word, we carry him with us through the high times of life, through the valleys, he's always there, he always walks with us, walks through it, and we grow because of it. Okay. It's all about relationship.
Okay. Jamie, what would you say?
I think it's time, quality time. Okay. I know last week when we were talking about Martha and Mary, you would ask, what do you think Jesus' love language was? And immediately I was like, quality time. It's quality time. And to be honest, that so happens to be mine as well.
Okay.
And it's one of the harder ones to get and to give because we live in a society that seems to put a medal on those people who are always so busy, busy, busy. You know, it's like a badge of honor. I'm so busy. That giving our time to him is really, it's really what he wants from us. And it's something that we have a high value on, and we give away to so many things. If we're going to give it away to all kinds of things, why wouldn't we give away our quality time to Jesus?
Yeah. How about any of you want to share what your nard is? What would be your best that you would want to give to the Lord, or what do you seek to give him? Okay, so,
I would bring him my thanks. I thank him for caring about us and for loving us. And most of all, I thank him for sending Jesus to save us.
Okay. Nice.
Praise and worship.
The words that are popping in my mind right now, and we've referenced these before, but our Psalm 51, what does the Lord really treasure? A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So if you're sitting out there thinking, I really don't have anything precious to give him, just the sorrow over your sin and your faith in him as your Savior, couldn't please him any more, couldn't make him any happier than that as a gift. You know, there's another Bible passage that's coming to my mind that I'm trying to think of where it is. Maybe someone out here knows where it talks about us being the aroma of Christ. That passage ring a bell with anybody? You got, anybody got a phone that can quick Google that?
No, I used to call Lila every time I needed a person, she would call me. Where is that?
But I think here too, again, you know, Mary and pouring that on Jesus, and we're talking about, you know, Jesus having that aroma, but his desire is for us to smell like him. All right, to have that aroma of Christ, of willingness to give our time to others, to serve others, to maybe not get hung up on all the properness of things, because Mary certainly set that all aside, didn't she? She just went where her heart told her to go.
And she did it regardless of being criticized, too. She was criticized by her sister.
Yeah.
She was criticized by Judas.
Yeah.
And she didn't care. She didn't even defend herself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I got to take a jab at Judas. Here he is worried about money. If he just would have had a good business head on his shoulder, he would have seen this through. You know what? If we bottle this stuff now, we can sell it all over the world. For how much? $20 an ounce.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right here.
$20 an ounce today.
And, yeah, and he was too wrapped up in the moment, wasn't he, to miss it. Yeah.
He's wrapped up in a lot of things.
Yeah. Last thoughts. What's your takeaway from this, your personal takeaway from this story?
I took a lot of time to read everything I could find about Mary. The honest truth was I didn't know a lot about her when I found out she was my woman of the week. And I looked at everything I could find. And in everything that I came across, Mary was so committed and so devoted and so unwavering in knowing that Jesus was her king, and that she wanted to be at his feet, absorbing every minute and every word, and pushing herself aside and not caring what anyone thought of it. And I think my biggest takeaway after doing a lot of research on her is that I have added a new woman to my list of role models.
Thanks. Okay, cool. Isla.
I just like Mary's humbleness, and I like the fact she was just a common, ordinary, youngest of the family, a woman, not paid attention to, but she just served her king however she could, mm-hmm. and he loved it, mm-hmm. and that's all we can all do, give our best, whatever we are. And he loves us because he loves each one of us, and he made us, each one of us, just the way he wanted us.
Yeah, yeah. And I think for me, even though the story points Mary out in her actions, at the end of the day, the only person really drawing attention and being smelled was Jesus. Mm-hmm. She does such a marvelous job of saying, he's the one to love. He's the one to love. Yeah. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this woman of faith, Mary, and that she still speaks volumes to us even centuries later. And we would just pray that our lives could follow in that footstep, knowing how much Jesus loves us, that we would seek to love him with our very best as well, so that others would be pointed to Jesus. We pray and we ask that in his name. Amen.